If you turn with us over into Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. I want to announce there's a ladies' fellowship August 31st at 6:30 at Ruby Tuesdays. Remember that, ladies' fellowship August 31st, 6:30 at Ruby Tuesdays. All right, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. Let's start reading tonight. Verse number 44. Luke's Gospel 23, verse 44. It was about the sixth hour. There was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together tonight. God, that we live in a free country. Lord, a place and a time that we can gather together in one mind and one accord to come out of this old world. For Lord, You have set us apart. Help us now to preach the Word of God tonight. Thank You we can gather in these days. We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for everything that You do for us. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask You. Amen. And amen. If you've been noticing, there's going to be a total solar eclipse tomorrow. It'll last less than a minute some places. And while a partial eclipse can be visible for an hour or more, everyone in the U.S. will be able to see at least a partial eclipse. A time when the sun's going to be darkened. I was seeing in the papers and upon the airways, people's lining up. 77 has been slammed today for out-of-town traffic coming in to get a glimpse. I've noticed that they're passing out glasses that they all may get a glimpse of this phenomenon that's going to happen tomorrow. Matter of fact, they're holding school kids over in that hour tomorrow. It's become televised, publicized. I mean, it's the whole talk of the nation about tomorrow that the sun's going to be darkened. But I come to tell you tonight, there was a day when the sun didn't shine. Oh, there was a day when the sun refused to come out. It was at the day at Calvary. You'll notice in the reading of Luke's Gospel, I'm glad that I don't have to be anticipating a great miracle about tomorrow. But yet I can experience a miracle that has already happened in my life from a day at Calvary of days gone by. Tomorrow, there'll be no doubt. I've heard some folks say, "Well, I'm not even going to go out." Well, it's still going to get dark on you. I've heard folks say, "Well, on Halloween, we're going to gather and we're going to party and we're going to do this and we're all going to look at this great phenomenon." Well, can I tell you, over 2,000 years ago was the greatest day that has ever happened. And tonight, I want to preach on this simple subject. On the day that the sun refused to shine. Now, in Luke's Gospel, you'll notice this. I won't be on very long tonight, but I want you to underline these thoughts. Notice in Luke 23:44, it was about the sixth hour. It was 12 noon. There was a darkness over all the earth till the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock. 3 hours, the sun wouldn't come out. Watch, the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now notice in verse 44, you know why people tomorrow are flocking to Georgia and Oregon? Because you're able to be able to see such a greater glimpse of it. But my Bible tells us on that day at Calvary that the sun set over all the earth. The whole earth realized for 3 hours the sun would not shine. You know, there's an amazing thing. Now, could you imagine not only those that were around Golgotha that day at Calvary's Hill? If you were a Roman soldier and you'd put him on that cross and maybe you were mocking and making fun of him, could you imagine all of a sudden that when the sun turned dark and refused to shine? And it didn't happen for a moment or so, but for 3 long hours, the sun refused to shine. Look, if you would, in that parallel gospel, it tells us something. It's amazing what we find when we study our Bible. In Mark's gospel, chapter number 15 and verse 24, I want to leave you with this nugget of thought tonight. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 24. The Bible said when they had crucified Him, they parted His garments, casting lots upon them that every man should take. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be gambling at the cross if I was you, because you will always lose when you gamble with Christ. The Bible says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified Him. And the superscription of His accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with Him they crucified 2 thieves, the one on His right hand and the other on His left. The Scripture was fulfilled which saith, and He was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, O thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves and the scribes, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with Him reviled Him. Now here it is, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And verse 34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which has been interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you'll notice in the reading of the Word of God according to Mark's Gospel that the sun refused to shine for 3 hours. During that total darkness, that's when the Son of God was carrying the weight of the sin of this world upon His shoulders. There God turned the lights out on His Son and upon this world that this world could not see Him. But you'll notice when the lights come back on, Jesus cried. In one passage, it is finished. Can I tell you that Jesus did not die in darkness? But Jesus drew the last breath when the lights turned back on. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus is the light of life. And He is the light of the world. I want to say the day when the sun refused to shine. One old writer said, the midday's midnight. Tomorrow And we all look up around 2:30, 2:45, and the sun refuses to shine. You remember this, it ought to be a day of great reflection. We ought to look back at Calvary and realize that's not the first time that the sun was blackened out. God turned the lights off. It ought to be a day of reflection. It ought to be a day of remembrance. Well, preacher, tomorrow, what do we need to remember when the sun refuses to shine? I'm glad you asked me tonight since you're real quiet. I want to say this, first of all, it was a time when the Savior testified. He cried and said, "It is finished." I'm glad He testified that He paid the price for me and you. It was a time when the Savior testified in 1 John 4:9. As you reflect tomorrow, you remember it was a time when the Son of God was crucified. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our little school children hollered out the windows tomorrow when the sun didn't shine, say, "You ought to reflect and you ought to remember this is a day that the Lord has made, and God put His Son on a cross on a day like this and turned the lights out for us." Oh my goodness. It was a time when the Savior testified, "It's finished." It's a time when the Son was crucified. In 1 John chapter number 4, look at this verse tonight. 1 John, and I want you to notice in chapter number 4, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the appeasement for our sins." I'm going to tell you, we ought to reflect and we ought to remember upon when those lights went out. It was a time when the Savior testified. It was a time when the Son of God was crucified. But thirdly, it was a time when we as sinners were justified. In Romans chapter number 3, verse number 20, you're talking about a powerful verse. Romans 3 and verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the flesh, there shall no flesh be," or "by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here's our verse. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And there is no other redemption tonight, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." That word means an appeasing or satisfying. "Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." I want to say it ought to be a time tomorrow as we reflect and remember that when the day that the sun refused to shine, it was a day that the Savior testified. It was a day when the Son was crucified. It was a day when we, that are sinners saved by grace, were justified. I'm glad I'm justified by the grace of God. Romans 5, it was a day when our sovereign God was satisfied. And that's always amazed me. Through years of preaching, I've never ever been able to comprehend the love of God that sent His Son, that could have done anything He wanted to do to satisfy Himself, for He is God. But He chose the blood of His Son in order that it may satisfy Him. Romans 5, watch your Bible, verse number 1. Romans 5, verse number 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." This morning, I preached on Christ, held His peace.
held His place, held His purpose. Tonight, do you have the peace of God? For here, Paul says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, here it is, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. And that's the way and the only way anybody's going to be reconciled to God is by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the day the sun refused to shine, it reflects the time where the Savior testified, "It's finished." It reflects the time when the Son was crucified, the only begotten of God. It reflects, it makes me think of that the price was paid that the sinner could be justified. A time when the sovereign was satisfied. But fifthly, I want to say a time when Satan became terrified. You know, Satan really thought he had Christ. He led him upon the temple roof to a high place, tried his best in that great wilderness temptation, take the life of Christ. He tried for years to ensnare him and trap him. And when he got him on the cross, he thought sure he had accomplished what Satan did not know. It was the plan of God before the foundations of this world that He would send His Son to an old rugged cross to pay your sin debt and my sin debt. And when the devil realized that this earth trembled and the sun darkened, he realized he wasn't in charge. And can I tell you tonight, Satan is terrified. He knows his day. The reason he's running rampant like we've never seen before, he knows his time is short. In Revelation 20 and 10, matter of fact, Satan knows what this says because he's heard it read so many times. Revelation 20, verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them," he's a deceiver tonight. Boy, can he paint you a pretty picture and make it real to you? He said, "The devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne,
and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There's the face of God again tonight. I preached on this morning. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in there tonight? It can be by faith. He died that your name could be. But the only way your name can get in that book is to have faith in Christ tonight. And therefore, the day that the sun refused to shine, it was a day when the Savior testified. It was a day when the Son was crucified. It was a day when the sinner could become justified. It was a day when our sovereign God was satisfied. It was a day, no doubt, that Satan became terrified and realized he didn't have him. But I want to say lastly in Colossians 2:13, it reflects to the day of when our sentence was nullified. Colossians 2 and 13. Look here. As Paul is writing, look what he says in Colossians 2 and verse number 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all what? Trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The law was against us, but grace is for us. Which was contrary to us, hard on us. And took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Having full principalities, powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or in the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Oh, the great phenomenon that everybody's talking about that's coming tomorrow. But the greatest thing that's ever happened, the Bible spoke of it for 2,000 years. Jesus died on the cross. The sun was blackened out for 3 hours, not partially across the country, but across the whole earth. Could you imagine little boys, little girls out playing that day way away from Jerusalem when God blacked the sun out? Maybe they walked in and said, "Mama, Daddy, where'd the sun go? What happened to the sun?" Well, let me tell you what happened to the sun. The sun gave His life that you could have life and keep you out of darkness. And I bless His name tonight. So tomorrow I thought it would be proper if I reminded our congregation, when we see that sun darken, it's not about all the TV reporters. It's not about all the hoopla's and the cars that's lined up to get a clearer view. I don't know of a clearer view than we all could have tonight than what the Word of God has already been pinned down. Jesus loved us and died for us. So tomorrow when we realize and see the sun refuses to shine, let it be a day to reflect. Let it be a day to remember. Let it be a day to refresh. Thank God I'm saved because of Calvary.
Let it be a day that we rejoice. A day that we bow our head and say, Dear God, thank You the first day that the sun went out. You were hanging and paying a price for me. You say, Brother Ken, you sure do think a lot of Calvary. You sure are preaching a lot on Calvary later. I know nothing better to preach than Calvary. Because you see, as I said this morning, it wasn't the cross that saved us. It was the Son of God that hung on that cross and died that saved us. Father, we love You.